It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Football Friday on The Fan.
It's a man's game now.
This is a Football Friday edition of Danny and Dusty.
Brought to you by the Odyssey app. Download the Odyssey app, follow 1080 The Fan, and enable push notifications to get the latest on the Ducks, Beavers, Blazers, and more.
Football Friday with Danny and Dusty on 1080.
We have great expectations.
The Fan.
Hour number two here on Danny and Dusty on a Football Friday edition. Thank you for listening, whether you're listening on 1080 AM, watching along on YouTube.com/1080AM The Fan, or Twitch.tv/1080AM The Fan. We appreciate you hanging out with us on this craptastic Friday because, ugh, it is out there nasty. Playing out there nasty. Oregon Ducks out in Ann Arbor, Michigan in the Big House, taking on the Wolverines. Keeping it running, keeping it moving. As of right now, the injury report has not changed for the Michigan Wolverines. They're still going to be dinged up. They're still going to be one quarterback short as Tuttle has decided to hang it up due to his fifth concussion.
He's
going to
retire.
He is going to medically retire. He is done with college football. Which way the Wolverines go at quarterback, I don't know. This is something, will they, won't they?
They're going to do both. So you'll have, I always, because he has two first names and two last names, Davis Warren, Warren Davis. He is going to start.
The law firm.
You, yes. Exactly. And you are going to see Alex Orji in certain packages.
It's an orgy in the end zone.
I don't think you're going to hear that on Saturday. I think that Oregon's defensive line, they're going to get after that Michigan O-line. Because what Oregon can do is they have a good enough secondary that you can pretty much man up on the outside and get after the passer. And they probably don't even have to do that. With how well that this defensive line has been playing and how deep the defensive line is, they just have dudes. Uiagalelei is getting after people. Derek Harmon is unblockable. Tatum Tuioti, he is always in the backfield creating havoc. The only way that this game can even be close is if Michigan has a bunch, 2 to 3, I guess is what I'm going to classify as a bunch of, but drives where Mullings and Edwards just find a way to get 3.5 every single time they get the ball. And I don't think that they're going to be able to do that because Oregon is just going to stack the box and bring blitz after blitz after blitz.
Do what USC didn't do, which was wait for the play action pass or orgy to get to the edge. Mm-hmm. Instead, Oregon's going to look to dictate. And that's what they should do. The only way I think Michigan has any real chance in this game is if those three monsters in that front are disruptive. And Mason Graham is the guy who's going to get all of the love, but you've got three dudes who are going to get after you. And Oregon has done a great job of attacking great fronts, see Ohio State.
Yep.
But I think this is going to be a game where you don't play away from them, but you don't spend a ton of time going right at them. Because as great as Oregon's offensive line has come together, those three guys are going to be NFL guys.
No, yeah, they are legit run stoppers.
Yeah, two of them are day one NFL guys. And well, you look at that and you go, look, we have to factor these guys in. Mason Graham is what, like, I remember during the USC game, one of the sideline reporters was like, you know, how much do you weigh right now? He's like, I think I'm down a little bit. I think I'm down to like 320.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you're 320 and moving like that?
And he's every bit as strong. The thing that's nice, though, for Oregon is guess who you go up against every single week? Not that ones and ones go up a ton against each other, but they do. You go up against Derek Harmon. That's going to be the closest thing to going up against Mason Graham. And I would say Graham's a little bit better than Harmon. Yeah. That being said, there aren't many that are playing better than Harmon this year. When I look at this offense, you don't need to attack the middle of that Michigan defense. Go to the edges. If Will Johnson plays at corner, that's the only guy that worries me, and he's coming off a lower leg injury, right? So he's going to be dealing with, even if he's playing, he isn't going to be 100%, and he's going to be dealing with that injury trying to guard Tez Johnson and Evan Stewart and Trayshawn Holden and Justice Lowe. I don't think that he's going to be able to do that. It seems like you're going to get Terrence Ferguson back in this game. He is a matchup nightmare, and I think you are going to see Oregon attack the edges. Michigan is at their strongest when they are up the middle. What Will Stein does a great job of is getting the ball out of his quarterback's hands quickly and getting it to the edges where he has his playmakers make plays in space. I think you are going to see a big game from the wide receiver group. And it's hard to say big game for Tez Johnson because every game from that guy is a big game. He has 6 to 10 catches every game. He has anywhere from 60 to 100 yards every single game. He's always around the end zone if he doesn't get in. But for a guy like Evan Stewart, I think you're going to see big plays. It feels like when Evan Stewart plays, it's a feast or famine type of game. It's either an Ohio State game where he has, you know, 8 catches, 150 yards, and a touchdown, or it's he has 2 catches and maybe only 30. This is going to be a feast game for him because they don't have the secondary that can keep up with the Oregon skill players on the outside. And then once Michigan has to start spending more and moving more people to the edges, that's when you hit him with Jordan James and that rushing attack. And again, you're still going to be doing a lot of runs off tackle.
Yep.
But Jordan James and Noah Whittington have arrived this year. Jordan James is the feature back. He's running through people. And after last week, I think that's the first time that Noah Whittington looked like he did last year.
Coming back up the knee injury. Yeah. According to PFF, Michigan's defensive line has the highest graded line in college football at 92.1. They lead the nation in pass rush grade, and they're tied for second in run defense. This is not a, you know, pin your ears back, pass rush, and they're soft in the middle. Kenneth Grant and Mason Graham are good. They're currently both projected top 10 picks.
They're a middle out defensive line. They are a middle out D line, and those guys are a problem. And they can get after the passer.
Yes.
I mean, they got after
again,
USC.
This is the best pass rush in the country. So
from the middle.
In general, they're the highest graded pass rush in the country according to PFF. Mm-hmm. If you're looking for how Oregon is looked at, as of right now, their tackle duos are the 23rd best tackle duo in the country in Cornelius and Connerly. That's pretty damn good. Mm-hmm. On the interior, though, they are 110th in the country.
I would be interested to see how much of that is skewed from the first 2 weeks.
Well, it's only taking Laulu, Harper, and Strother. It's just those three guys.
It's just those three. Okay,
so it's not. Like, so it's factoring out.
Because if you had Pickard in there, mm-hmm. that's where I would have to have a conversation.
He dropped the grade pretty hefty. Yeah,
and because he not attacking the kid.
He got worked. He
struggled putting. The center makes all the line calls, yes. which puts the offensive lineman in the correct positions. He struggled doing that.
Yeah.
And that's why there were a lot of losses
yeah.
From that O-line group. I think what Oregon, you're going to see a lot of bubble, tunnel screens, a lot of RPO, yep. and just trying to take what Michigan is giving them. And the more that they can attack the edges, they have better athletes. They just flat out do. Oregon has better yes. athletes than Michigan. And I can't believe that we're getting to say that
yeah.
because you've never really gotten to say that. Even the year that you win with Dennis Dixon's team, you it's didn't
little,
have
little,
better
little
athletes
smoke and mirrors
necessarily.
There. I mean, you little two Statue of Liberty plays. Like,
yeah,
so.
I mean, you had one better athlete, and he was yeah. at the quarterback position.
And you took
he
advantage
should
of
have
it.
Been a Heisman yeah. that year if he doesn't get hurt.
So
that's how good that team was.
Currently, the spread, I believe, is adjusted now. Is it down to 13.5? I just checked a second ago.
I was going to say, I got it at 14.5.
14.5. So it is at 14.5. And I think this is closer than the Illinois game. And it really comes down to if Michigan's going to be in it, it's because, well, Johnson, number one, plays and he just takes away a side of the field. And Michigan is disruptive, and they get a pick six, or they get a strip sack, you know, scoop and score. They're going to need points from their defense or from their special teams. Samaj Morgan on a punt return. Like, if they do yes. that, then Michigan might be frisky. But this isn't an easy game for Oregon, but it is one that they probably should salt away relatively soon and not get too cute with it.
If Oregon does what they did against Illinois, which was score early, that this game will be over because this Michigan team is a worse version of that Illinois team. Illinois had some semblance of a pass game, not necessarily against Oregon, but against the other schools that they have played so far this year. This Michigan team doesn't. If Oregon can get up two scores in the first quarter or early in the second quarter, Michigan is going to have to start throwing the ball. And that's exactly where Oregon wants them because they are going to be able to get after the passer and get sacks on the quarterback. And that's going to force quicker throws from the quarterback later on in the game. And that's going to lead to more opportunities for turnovers, specifically interceptions. If Oregon can get up early, which I think they have the ability to do, you might be looking at a very boring third and fourth quarter because Oregon is just trying to run out the clock, which is what they've shown that they will do when they get up big against teams like this. It's the same thing that they did against Michigan State. It's the same thing that they did against Illinois. It's the same thing they did against Purdue.
Take care of it away, move on to the next.
We're up big. Let's get out of here. We don't need style points.
Run ball, get out healthy.
Exactly. So for Oregon, attack the edges, get up big early. That's going to force Michigan to have to throw the ball, and they can't do it.
There you go. That's your Ducks Wolverines preview edition here as the Ducks get ready to take on Michigan in the Big House. Coming up next, we'll get back to the NBA for a little bit. What have you seen from the Portland Trailblazers in the first five games that could be described as development? Danny and Dusty, 10 of the Fan. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Portland Trailblazers are 2-3 through the first five games. They take on the Oklahoma City Thunder tonight at Moda Center. Oh boy, I haven't even looked at the spread of that game yet.
It's not going to be good for you, bud.
In fact, let's take a look at that real quick. I want to have an idea of how what
11.5.
That's actually
11.5.
That's less than I thought it was going to be.
Should I hammer the Thunder?
I mean, I think they'll cover that. If I'm being honest, but beyond the wins and losses, there's been some trends that have popped up with the Trailblazers through the first five games. Number one, outside of the Warriors game, which it sucked and blew at the same time, it was terrible. They have played an entertaining brand of basketball. They have gotten up and down the court. They have been aggressive. They have been physical. They have been defensive-minded. They have been opportunistic and disruptive. They're getting out in transition and getting dunks. Like there's lobs. It's an exciting, more physical brand of basketball. But I think there's also a couple of things that are more tangible. The thing that I hear most often is in a win or a loss, like, didn't see any development tonight. It's like, okay, we're going to do this. Okay. So development does not occur on a nightly basis. You see, like, a lot of it happens behind the scenes, and then you see after weeks and months of practice and working on things that one play, and it may not even show in the box score.
Are you trying to tell me that growth isn't always linear?
Yeah, I know. It's crazy.
First, I've learned this.
I know. I've seen a lot of, and look, I'm not, like, pro Chauncey. I'm just not anti Chauncey in the sense of I think he's done a decent job of helping guys develop. Anthony Simons has said multiple times that Chauncey Billups saved his career. Tumani Kamara has taken another step. And I think along that same line, you've seen Chris Murray. You've seen Ryan Rupaire in these first five games. You've seen Scoot Henderson. All show growth. And everybody wants, you know, a young player to have a growth aspect like Victor Wembanyama or like Chet Holmgren after his, you know, sabbatical, injury year coming into year two, like, oh my God, look, it's like
his year abroad.
Yeah. When you have like Blake Griffin did the same thing and Ben Simmons too. Like when you have that, when you get that red shirt year, like you learn so much. And when you hit the ground, you look less like a rookie. And I think Scoot Henderson this year, and I said this before, I think with Scoot, what you're seeing right now is, had this first five games been how he started his first five games last year, people would look at him very differently. And I'm not saying he's had the best five games to start the season. He's shooting under a 30% from three. He's not lighting things up from the field in general. He's been a little careless with some turnovers, but that's because he's a 20-year-old point guard who doesn't have a ton of experience.
Right.
But you've seen bright moments. You've seen him finish at the rim. You've seen him drive aggressively and dunk. You've seen him create for others. You've seen him make some defensive plays. Like, there's just been like, oh, that's better.
Mm-hmm.
And they've seen those markers, I think, for a lot of these guys. And I think that's kind of what the big thing. If you want to go like numbers-wise, like the big thing is that they want to be bigger, stronger, longer, more disruptive, more defensively oriented. The team-building philosophy that Joe Cronin, Mike Schmitz, Sergey Oliva, Andre Patterson, the front office have had is, hey, let's take chances on guys that are 6'7", 6'8", 6'9",
yeah,
who have defensive acumen, who have physical tools, and then let's figure out if they can shoot. Because shooting is the thing, and this is, I've talked to God knows how many NBA development guys who are, I'm like, what's the easiest thing to develop? Shooting, 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 shooting. And it's not that it's easy, it's the easiest thing.
Are they doing this because they've learned the lesson from the previous regime?
Yes.
Because when you talk about the previous regime, it's like, hey man, they all can shoot.
None of them can defend,
none of
them can size.
All undersized, not super fast, gotta slow the game down.
What do we talk about Joel Embiid? How rare it is to find people with that size. Like, we talk about you being 6'5 alone, like, you are in a small percentage of people on the planet.
Yeah, very
and
special.
And the bigger you get, the harder that is to find. It's a market efficiency. Mm-hmm. Finding players with size first is a more difficult thing to do. And so when you go down that path and you've got Tumani Kamara, you've got Chris Murray, and you've got Ryan Rupert, I think you start to see like, oh, and that just, I mean, doesn't even count Danny Avdia.
That guy's awesome.
I like
that guy.
I think he's started out poorly shooting in the field, but I genuinely think he's going to start figuring some stuff out on the offensive end. But you saw Ryan Rupert. He was probably the reason the Trailblazers beat the Clippers the other night. It was a short little spurt, but 7 points in was like a minute 30. He was incredibly effective. And if you watch that Ryan Rupert and you compared him to last year, that's a different player. And I'm not saying he's out there looking like Jaylen Brown, but he's looking like a functional NBA player. You're seeing that that linear development when you talk about growth over a year.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're talking about. It's like, you want to see that trend line. Look, some nights, like if you've ever seen any trend lines, you have the trend line that looks linear, but you've got spark points above and below it, some much higher, some much lower.
Hey,
but
I get it. I just got into the stock market. It's
see,
the exact same
yes.
thing. Like, I got upset 3 months ago where it's like, I just lost $100. What just happened? And then it's like, oh, here's your year to date, Will. And it's like, oh, it is growing.
It's
and
like,
that's
oh, I'm
what
up.
You want
yeah.
out of the Blazers.
And that's a perfect way to look at it is the stock market. If you look at it in the day to day and the micro, unless you're day trading, it doesn't do you any good.
Right.
You're looking at things over the long haul, and I think that's been a big, big thing. For the Trailblazers, defensively, and this is kind of the counting stats that I think have been different for this team. They're currently 7th in blocks, 16th in steals. That's a plus mark. That means they're a top 10 team in blocks, which Donovan Clingan, big part of that. But you also get Tumani Kamara in on that. You still get DeAndre Ayton in on that. Denny Avdia, and like they're bigger, stronger, longer, more impactful. They're 16th in steals. So they're almost in the top half in steals, and they're in the top 10 in blocks. Those are promising numbers.
You're getting better defensively, which is a big complaint that a lot of people had.
Yes, and I think they're functional on that end. The another one is they want to play faster. They're not playing 7 seconds or less, or 6 seconds or less Suns. Like, they're 17th in pace. That's still faster. Again, it's an improvement. The offensive glass, they're 5th in the league in offensive rebounding. They've figured out, we're not a good shooting team. How can we supplement that? Well, if we just pummel teams on the offensive glass, we can create extra opportunities. DeAndre Ayton, his first 2 years in the league with the Phoenix Suns, he was in the 80th percentile as an offensive rebounder. He's fallen off in the last couple of years, and this year, he's back to hitting the offensive glass.
Well, and then Klingon, right?
Yes, even in his limited minutes, he has been an absolute monster on the offensive glass.
So that's the biggest thing for me then, because like you brought in Donovan Klingon. Like, man, DeAndre Ayton is awesome. That I'm excited about how he's playing. He played great at the end of the season last year. He looked more like the Ayton that everyone thought he could be coming out of high school or not. Well, out of college too. But when I think about these Blazers, I think about the core three, at least the three in my mind. And that's Scoot, Klingon, Sharp. Mm-hmm. Sharp's injured right now, so you're not going to see anything from him. So what type of growth for the team as a whole can I see from the youngins? And then what type of growth can I see from the youngins over the long haul? And to me, I think that's why I was so high on Donovan Klingon, not just because he's so tall, but because he does a lot of things that the Blazers didn't have previously. He gets after offensive rebounds. He plays good defense. He gets a lot of blocks. And when he doesn't get a block, he affects the shot. And then you even talked about Ryan Rupert having a big, you know, functional 8 minutes. Donovan Klingon probably hit your biggest shot of that game.
The three?
Yeah.
And again,
he is dead tired at the end of his rotation.
Puffing. He didn't want to go to the rim. He didn't want to do nothing. He was like, I'm going to stop right here at this 3-point line.
And he hit it.
Took his time, gathered it, knocked it down. But again, you're talking about guys showing a little bit of growth. For in case those are wondering, the number one offensive rebound rate among bigs right now belongs to the Hornets' Nick Richards, who's at 15.4%. He qualifies because he's played 121 total minutes. Klingon has only played 60 total minutes, so half the minutes. Mm-hmm. Klingon has a 3% better rate. He would be number one in the NBA.
That's awesome.
In offensive rebound at 18.2%.
Love that.
But you also have Timani Kamara, who's the 93rd percentile, and DeAndre Ayton in the 67th percentile. So you're starting to see, look, this is what I'm talking about when you have to kind of look and squint for the wins, as it were, in development. They do not care about wins and losses. For everybody's like, oh, they've won too many games. Because right now, at two wins, they're nearly at 10% of the way to their win total, 21.5.
That's so funny to think about.
Yes, but a 400 winning percentage is not ideal for this season.
But you take a look at it, and I just want to do this real quick. I didn't have this ready, but
capture the flag.
Yeah, I'm not tremendously worried about that, and this is why. Okay, here's what's coming up for you. You have Oklahoma City tonight, then you go on the road in a back to back against Phoenix, New Orleans, San Antonio, Minnesota. Okay, what games are they winning there? Maybe the Pels game, because the Pels are missing everyone. I don't know, man. Do they have an answer for... I mean, Chris Paul, no matter who he's played for, has been a thorn in Portland's side, no matter what age he is. And it's like he just finds a way to wizard something out, and Wemby's going to be a problem. We'll talk about Wemby here at some point tonight, because he was ridiculous last night. But then you come home. Here's who you have at home. After playing Minnesota on the road, you come home, and you play the Memphis Grizzlies, and then the Minnesota Timberwolves back-to-back. Okay? Then the Atlanta Hawks, and then you go out on the road and you play the Thunder, the Rockets, and back-to-back, then the Grizzlies again, then the Pacers, Kings, Mavericks. How many games are you winning in this stretch of 12 games? One?
You might get one or
two.
You might get one or two, just because it's the NBA and sometimes guys have off nights.
But, I mean, you are just getting absolutely pummeled on the road. What would we have? 9 of their next 14 are on the road.
Good. Against, these are things I like.
Against good teams. So everybody panicking about them winning too many games, chill.
I want lots of close losses. Like if they covered today, but lost by 6, awesome.
Look,
Scoot has a couple nice plays.
If you want me to draw it up.
A couple nice plays.
Look, the Pelicans game, it sucks for them to lose on the basically like a last second shot, but be within 5 with 5 minutes to go.
Yeah.
And just not be able to kind of execute down the stretch because you don't have the scoring and the shooting. Like
100%. Can just, get behind that.
And I think if organizationally, that's kind of what they would like to see.
No more Golden State losses. You can't lose by, 36?
Yeah.
That can't happen anymore. Tough.
Yeah. So you just don't
want to. Close.
You just don't want to see those pileups.
The Sacramento loss. You lost by what? 11? No. Bad at math. 13. You lost by 13.
Yeah, but that one was a little. It was a fake comeback. I think they closed 12 points in the fourth quarter, which
I'm okay got with
it.
That.
Okay. I want to say it within 10. That's kind of where I would be like to see it.
I'm okay with having a loss like that, though, if the three young guys, and I know right now it's 2 because Sharp is still out, if the three young guys are showing signs of improvement or they're showing that they can do what I was told their strengths were at an elite level. Klingon is showing right now that he can do what his strengths are at an elite level. Now, I would expect that coming from a Hurley coach player. I would expect that from him. I really need to continue to see growth from Scoot.
Yep.
Less dumb turnovers.
Yes.
More smart shots, whether they go in or not.
Process. Process matters more than anything
and
right
now.
And
then continue to find your teammates to get assists or the opportunity for assists.
Generate good shots.
That's what I'd like to see.
100%.
And then the rest of it's just kind of like,
Cool.
It's icing on the cake.
Right.
Coming up next time for our worst day on the web, and, well, I have plenty of reasons to not like Miami, but I think I found a new one. We'll get to that and more, but first, here's the Big Kahuna Sports on Update.
That's that Hawaiian burger joint.
It's time for today's worst day on the web. With Danny and Dusty on Odyssey and 1080 The Fan.
That sucks.
Welcome to Miami, where our basketball reporters don't have a brain and you can get a BBL chair for a day.
What?
In Miami, you can rent a chair for your BBL, your Brazilian butt lift, for $20 a day. It is a chair that is made room in the back end. It's like a little bit of a padded wheelchair situation.
When you get a BBL, don't you have to, like, lay on your stomach for a long time?
This one's got, like, kind of like a
think. Why not, like, just get an inflatable one?
It's kind of like a toilet seat where the bottom drops out.
Why do they need a special chair?
So, a hemorrhoid pillow.
Kind of. Well, except for, like, the chair, like, opens up and allows, like, more room for the butt to fall through so you don't sit on it.
Okay.
Well, okay. Mm-hmm. Now, I understand that I'm not a scientist. Didn't do well in science classes. Kind of fumbled my way through those. But isn't your butt made for you to sit on it?
Look,
isn't that what we're supposed to use our butt
for? The market will find a way. And there are currently, on the Facebook marketplace alone, there are 305 showcase BBL chairs for rent. One of them, $100 a day. Another, all the way down to $15 a day. The one consistent thread that comes with all of them, there is a large butt-shaped hole or indentation smack dab in the middle of the seat.
Why? Why would you do this to yourself? Why?
What, the chair or the BBL?
Both. Why? Just squat.
Genetics.
So you can still get a butt.
Some people can't squat their way to a giant dumper.
Then throw in some hip thrusts. Like, I have little calves. Mm. I just do calves twice to three times a week.
And you still have little calves.
But they're strong, though.
Do you think these people that are doing this want a strong butt, or do you think they want the look of that butt?
I think that they want instant gratification instead of earning what small butt they have.
They want that big, juicy butt.
Mm.
But, like, why?
Sir, like, Mix-a-Lot said so.
That's true. He is wise.
His anaconda don't want none unless you got buns, hon.
Yeah, I think I heard that in a Nicki Minaj song,
that's
too.
True. There's a guy in bodybuilding. His name's Goob. Who,
G-O-O-B?
Yes. He.
His mother named him that.
I don't know. But he calls out all of the influencers in the fitness industry that basically have the... here's my workout plan for sale and bio kind of situation.
And which ones are fake and which ones aren't?
Well, no, they all have their workout plans, but the staggering majority of them that snatch in their waist and pull out their butt in editing. And I think it's like it has become a massive issue. It's insane, like, how common it is. Like, if you ever just scrolled through IG or TikTok and just, like, seen how the background seems to warp behind them. It looks like there's a time dilation happening behind them.
I'm going to be honest. When I'm looking at my workout videos and my workout photos, I'm not really looking in the background. You know, I don't care whether it's a hot female or a hot dude. I'm just like, all right, that looks like that gets a great arm pump.
He must work out.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Look at the butt on that.
Look at the butt on that one.
He must work out.
Still one of my favorite.
Great movie.
It's one of the best lines ever the first time you hear it. No, I remember the very first line just being like, I was like 14 when it came out. I was like,
my little cousin quotes it. My little cousin has never seen Dumb and Dumber. He's heard me and his dad and his uncle quote that line. I hear him quote it all the time.
Where the beer flows like wine and the women instinctively flock like the salmon of Capistrano.
Exactly.
Pull over. No, it's a cardigan. Thanks for noticing.
Thanks for noticing. I want to say that the dark side of the BBL here More than 20...
There's a light side?
Yeah, the more than 20 South Florida patients have died of complications from bazillion butt lifts over the last 10 years.
Why do it?
And here's the other thing.
Why?
Great job by the Miami paper here. That hasn't stopped it from ballooning in popularity.
Why do it, dude? Why?
Bravo.
Why?
Bravo.
Just
bravo.
Is this like eventually it'll become like
think about like
the other surgeries?
I don't want to demean these people that have died, but I'm going to. Can you imagine being the parents of this person who died from complications from an ass enlargement?
Well, you lost me when you said, can you imagine being a parent? At that moment, I was like, no.
Yeah, no, look, it's terrifying.
That's,
but like, you're doing the funeral preparations for your child who died trying to make their butt bigger by sucking fat out of their body and injecting it into their butt. I was ornery.
Think it's an open casket?
Maybe a little evil. Do you think that maybe they take a page out of the BBL chair, like cut a hole? In the coffin,
so that way everyone.
So the butt can hang out the bottom. Okay, now I'm going to have
now.
Is
now
that the
we
funeral
suck.
Version of assless chaps.
Now
right?
We suck. Well, they wouldn't want to damage it. It's the whole reason they had the surgery.
Oh God,
I'm so. Maybe it's because I'm too cheap, but I don't understand why
you like wouldn't, if I
don't have a big butt.
Look, if
I'm not going to get
if
a BBL,
you had all the money in the world right now, you wouldn't get calf implants.
No, not at all.
Mm.
Why would I do that? No one has ever walked by someone and been like, you know, I was really into that guy until I saw his little calves.
Mm.
Guess what? They might be small.
You've also
but
never heard
muscular.
Anybody say they're really into you.
I've never heard anyone be like, I wasn't into that dude till I saw his calves.
Well, it's because your calves aren't great.
And unfortunately for you, I continue to hear people say they're really into me. They usually compare me to Travis Kelce.
Mm. I bet you he's got great calves.
No, his aren't that big. I saw them today. I was judging them. Now, to be fair, they were under wraps because of, he had socks on.
So were you pulling his socks down and taking a peek? Like what are you?
They were on Instagram. I was on Instagram. He pops up on my feed.
Travis Kelce.
Just watching my workout videos, man.
No, it's just like, I don't know. It was something about him bragging Good about Lord. Something on his last podcast.
Yeah, is that the equivalent of I read it for the articles?
Unbelievable.
Don't look at my Instagram feed. Yeah. I don't have that excuse.
Yeah, look, Dusty and I's algorithms are off. I bet you yours and mine are way off.
My algorithm has been carefully cultivated
That's
over
the
years
problem.
And years.
Mine's a lot of, that's fun.
It's a lot of food, hots, football.
Mm.
A lot of football. A lot of big guy football jokes. Real big fan of Lyman problems on Instagram.
Oh, okay.
Quality follow. If you don't follow them, follow them.
All right.
And Paige Sperano.
That's the worst day on the web. I just want to take some shots at Miami and people who get BBLs.
Yeah, don't do that.
It's weird.
Like, just accept your body. Go to therapy, maybe.
My wife, look, I
don't know.
I would say I don't judge people on this stuff, but I do. Wholeheartedly, I do. Wouldn't you do, like, if you would like, do a little bit of work, I don't care. When it's so egregious that I can take my energy drink and put it on the back end.
Big butts matter.
It's true. I do like me a nice big derriere. My wife and I are out at dinner. We're at Fogo de Chao. And this woman walked by. It looked like, I'm not kidding. Well, this big can of Clorox wipes, it looked like two of those stacked on the back end.
It has been getting touched a ton.
Yeah. My wife looked at me and just went,
I thought you weren't supposed to touch it. That was why the seat is that way.
Are you kidding me? And then immediately I had somebody else ask me, real or fake? Take it in the back end. And it was so egregious because this person's waist was so tiny. You're like, there's no way. It's like, I don't get the, look again.
I like them thick.
Mm.
God, two C's or one C?
I got a lot of these.
Or do you throw a QU in there?
Backdoor action. No, if she's French. If she's French, you put the QUE in then. But I don't get the giant fake.
I just
wagon.
I don't know. Maybe I'm naive and I just like, dude, just go to the gym.
Well, yes. I mean, some people just can't get it.
I understand that. But like, you can get the best version of what you have. And guess what? Not everyone is going to have everything. I would like to have a flat stomach. It's probably not going to happen. I was 315 pounds.
probably going to be some excess skin there, but I can do my best to achieve the best that I can.
Coward.
And there's some respect in that. I'm a coward for doing crunches. The crunches at the crunch.
Yeah, exactly. It's the most insanely tight hole I've ever seen. Well,
what could you have possibly been talking about?
I don't even remember. Do you?
That was golf. Some golf talk.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Were you playing at like a course that had smaller holes?
No, it's like following one of the majors.
Yeah.
Kind of like the Masters where it's real thin. Okay.
It was real tight. Very, very, very tight.
Lots of trees, lots of foliage on each side.
Yikes!
Yeah.
God, I have pages upon pages of drops. Good Lord.
It's actually okay to touch.
My God.
What could that have been about?
That one I don't know.
Yeah, it's, I mean, to be honest, that could have been anything. Sure about
that. There are like so many different ways that could have gone.
And probably none of them good. So
No, probably not.
Coming up next, I just wanted to have some fun with the audio. I saw the Marcus Aldridge appear with the on a podcast and talk about how he absolutely got torched by Tim Duncan. I just wanted to share it with you guys. We'll get to that and more here on Danny and Dusty, Tim the Fan. Earlier this week, we had Austin Rivers, a little cook from Austin Rivers. We didn't have Austin Rivers on here. Basically telling you, you're not good, you suck. You're never stand up to a pro-level athlete. And he's right. He's 100% right. But then just went a step further when a likely Hall of Famer in LaMarcus Aldridge was on with the knuckleheads, Quentin Richardson and Darius Miles, and they basically asked him, LaMarcus, who was the first guy really busted your head? And LaMarcus went with the GOAT, Tim Duncan, and here's what he had to say.
Who was the first person in the league to brush your head?
I've seen y'all ask people this. if you talk about game, Tim Duncan, man. That gave me big fundamentals. Gave me like 14 straight points and then hit me on the butt and said, you going to be okay. I was like, man, don't touch me, man. Now, I remember the story, so. He gets the back screen to the block. So I fight through
all the screens. Back screen, baseline.
Yeah. I fight through all the screens, and I beat him there. I'm waiting for him. Yeah, you ain't going nowhere. Boom, bump me, right hand. Okay, cool, come back. Same play again. This time he spins to the baseline, that little one-handed, like little flip shot. I'm like, okay.
Yeah,
it's like, okay, that's four. So then they keep running it again, 8, 10, 12, and then timeout. I come to the side. I'm like, Nate, are you going to help me? He's like, hey. You can't stop. I'm like, what? Like, let's double team. He's like, you smart. Like, if we double him.
So let's jump him. Yeah. Let's jump him. Straight up.
So he's like, if we double him, it's going to be threes. If you get your ass busted, it's just twos. I'm like, but this is embarrassing. Like, probably got 12 straight points on you. Like, you want some help.
Didn't say nothing the whole game.
No, he was encouraging me the whole game. Keep trying. You got this.
That last part is what I love there. The levels in professional sports, when you're talking about greatness, I love Brian Scalabrine because he will lace him up at 24-hour fitness and give every little punk that work and then laugh at them endlessly. Like, brother, I was an end of the bench dude. I'm a jag. I'm just another guy in the NBA.
And out here cooking you.
And I am out here.
Might
you can't
not even been a jag.
You know what I mean? Like he
jag minus.
Look, but I mean, in college, Scalabrine got that work at SC. He was a dude, right?
Had to be.
And here's the thing: this is LaMarcus Aldridge, who is likely a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Tim Duncan fried him for 14 straight points on the same play.
That was also young LaMarcus, again, to be fair.
Yes, but to this is, again, we're talking about LaMarcus Aldridge, who's Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year, 7 foot tall, crazy wingspan, very athletic, gifted defensive player, strong, athletic, long, rangy, and Tim Duncan is not playing above the rim. He's not 7 foot five Victor Wembanyama. He's not hezzy tween shooting over the top like Kevin Durant. This is the big fundamental. Drop step, baby hook. Spin, middle, up, under, finish. Just running the same play and doing it a different way. And it just shows you the levels of greatness in professional sports, particularly in basketball, where you've got LaMarcus who, again.
Pretty good.
And I take this to as a way to like apply it to the current Trailblazers. What they are now is not what they're going to be when they're in their prime. LaMarcus Aldridge, when he's older, probably does well against him there, but Tim is still going to get him. Why? Because Tim Duncan's one of the five greatest players of all time. And I think we get lost and we skew good versus great and great versus all time. And if you're not an all-time player, somehow you suck.
Yeah, but I mean, that is every sport, though.
Oh, I know. I'm not talking about it's only in basketball.
We talk about Kirk Cousins being horrible, and it's like, equating it to football, and it's like, Kirk Cousins is pretty good. People forget, Matt Stafford is going to be a Hall of Famer.
Yes. He's Super Bowl champion. His yards numbers, when he's all said and done, if he's not already top 10.
I think he's going to be top 5.
Yeah, his
he's
numbers,
top 10 already.
Yeah, his he numbers are insane.
10. Yeah, yeah.
So, and it's because we have Mahomes, and we have Brady, and we have Rodgers, and we have Manning. You have Breeze.
You have Duncan. You have Kobe, yeah. LeBron.
And it skews what greatness is. And I think that's Duncan. Something that kind of gets lost in all this. I love it when a great player like LaMarcus Aldridge is like, yeah, no, my welcome to the moment, my welcome to the NBA moment was Tim Duncan scoring 14 straight on me and me begging my head coach for a double team because there was nothing I could do about it.
My favorite one, because this one reminds me of my favorite one. It's the Iman Shumpert. Versus Kobe, where he's talking about it, and he's like, Kobe had 12 at going into the
court.
And
I'm talking all this trash.
And Kobe walks up to Iman Shumpert and is like, you had a good game, fella. Yeah. And then he drops like 40 or whatever it was the rest of the way.
Yeah. And in the second half.
Because I think it was all during the Linsanity movement. Because I think the Knicks still end up winning that game because of what Linsanity was doing.
But Kobe just fried him.
Yeah, he literally went to Iman Shumpert and was like, just so you know, you had a good game. And then he like threw the ball off the glass, dunked it, and Iman was like, what?
I think we all know the true goat of the NBA trash talk, and that is Larry Legend before the three-point contest.
Who's finished
walks in the locker room, yeah, walks in the locker room and says, which one of you MFers is coming in second?
I like
that. And then he goes out, didn't even take off his warm-up jacket and torched everybody.
I mean, one of his greatest moments in his career as far as trash talking is him scoring 42 against the Trailblazers with his left hand because he was saving his right for Magic and the Lakers on the next night.
That's so funny.
That is, to me, that is the goatest of goat stories I've ever heard.
There is a reason why his nickname was Larry Legend.
To cook another team with your offhand and get a 40 piece. And again, the Blazers weren't they weren't this year's Washington Wizards. They were a functional team, but he thought so little of you that he gave you that work with his offhand he wanted to save his right for Magic.
He didn't go out there and cook you with his wife. He cooked you with his side piece.
Good Lord.
I do get great joy too out of him getting mad at Charles Barkley when they'd have Dan Marley guard him.
Mm.
And he'd be
you
like,
put the white boy on me?
This is disrespectful to me. Why are you disrespecting me this way?
The white guy saying, you're going to guard me with the white guy? How
Very
dare
funny.
You?
Or the MJ one where he goes to Byron Scott. They're playing the Lakers. Who's guarding me today, Byron? Oh, that guy is 50.
And then to do it. And then he didn't just
that's
talk
awesome.
It. He talked it before the game. Then he dog walked you and then he patted you on the butt 50. Afterwards and said, nice job, young fella.
50. My favorite part of that is Tim Duncan's like, don't worry, dude, you'll get there.
You'll get there. Just, doing it with a smile on his face.
Hey, man, you're right there. You've got this. I'm rooting for you.
That's the trash talk equivalent of the hair tussle.
Right?
That is so much
worse. Like, oh,
that's
so cute, little guy.
That is so much worse than Tim Duncan hitting a shot and then being like, LaMarcus, you suck. You're trash. You're
Kevin Garnett getting down on all fours and barking at Jared Bayless, like, irritated me to, like, no.
He barked.
Oh, no, he literally got down on all fours and barked at Jared Bayless in a game. I was like, are you rookie Jared Bayless? I'm like, what is this? That is less disrespectful than Tim Duncan patting LaMarcus on the butt as he walked by. Like, good for you.
You were right there.
You almost got me. Hey, better luck next time, young
fella.
You
almost had it.
Because that's
you've got to be quicker than that.
I'm at my athletic peak, and there's nothing I can do with this.
So it's
just an insane thing. All right, it is Football Friday, so we're going to pivot back to football here in hour number three. There are actually some pretty decent games on the NFL schedule this weekend, and the way I want to look at this is, who needs it more? I got a handful of teams and a handful of games for us to go through and ask, who needs a win more? In hour number three on Dan and Dusty, Tenet the Fan. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/keepandswitch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.